In Romans chapter 8, we're going to read verses 1 down through verse 11. This is our series, Answers. We're going through the book of Romans, taking it a passage at a time and asking questions and finding answers from the Word of God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Let's begin with prayer. Lord, we thank you this morning that we have an opportunity to study your word once again. We pray for your blessing upon our time. We pray that you would help us, give us understanding. We pray that you'd work in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If I mention the name Steve Kerr, there's probably maybe two things that come to mind. There's two things really that he's known for. The first is that he played for the Chicago Bulls from 1993 to 1998. And as he played there, he won three championships with the Chicago Bulls. So probably when you think about him, you picture him in that red Chicago Bulls uniform. He later played for the San Antonio Spurs and won two more championships with them. So maybe when you think about him, you think about him as that basketball player. And maybe you played some video games and you would pick him on your team and all that sort of thing. More recently, though, he has been known as the head coach for the Golden State Warriors. And he's been doing very well as their head coach. He started back in 2014. And with them, he has won four championships. He's been voted as one of the 15 greatest coaches in NBA history. So he has these two different parts of his career as a player and then as a coach. But very recently, he has added a new accolade to his name, and that is he is now a gold medalist because he went and he coached the basketball team, the U.S. basketball team in the Olympics. And so the U.S. basketball committee, as they were getting ready for the Olympics and preparing for that, they were gathering all the players together, but they said, we need a coach that can help us win. And so they looked at all the coaches and they picked Steve Kerr because they wanted a coach that knew what it is to win, that knew what it takes to win a championship and win a title. They wanted someone that had a record of winning, even with all the stars that they had on the Olympic basketball team. And anybody who watched the games? Okay, maybe not. A couple of people did. There we go. They had some like the best players in the NBA on this team. Even with those stars, they still were like, we want a coach that's going to make a difference. They didn't look at all the players and were like, you know, we really don't need a coach, right? They can pretty much coach themselves. They've been doing this for a long time. They're very good at what they do. They said, no, we want a coach. Specifically, we want a coach that knows what it is to win and can lead this team to an Olympic gold medal. And we look at that and go, we understand that because we know that leadership matters. Coaching matters. It matters who is guiding us, and it matters who we're following. Who you choose to follow is going to determine where you head. It's going to determine the direction that you're going. Who we choose to follow will also determine where we end up. It determines the destination. Who we follow also determines whether or not we're going to reach our full potential as children of God. living the life that God wants us to live, being who God wants us to be. And this morning from Romans chapter 8, we're going to ask a question of guidance. And the question is, who are you following? Who are we following as Christians? Who are we listening to? Who are we allowing to guide us and to lead us? Who are we following? What we're going to do is, I want to take verses 1 and 2 as kind of our introduction, introducing us to this passage. Because in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 8, we are presented with two choices of who we can follow. So in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, Paul is continuing this sort of discussion on laws that he started back in chapter 7. If you look back in chapter, we're not going to read the whole end of chapter 7, but if you just look in verse 22, Paul had said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. And if you remember back, we talked about in the end of chapter 7 how Paul, with what he calls the law of his mind, was trying to follow the Mosaic law. And he was trying to get those two things to work in conjunction. Where he was like, I just need to, you know, follow the law of Moses, those commandments. And he said, I'm using the law of my mind, that my mind would just tell me to do what is right. But then he said, there's this whole battle that goes on. And the end of chapter 7 is him saying, I constantly lose to my flesh because that is stronger than my mind. Where my mind says, I know it is right to do, but my flesh says, that's not what we want to do. And there's that struggle. And so he was talking about how the law of his mind was weak and unable to get him to do what is right. But he's continuing that on now in chapter 8. And what I want to do in like with the first two verses is to understand some of the terminology that he's using that'll help us then understand the rest of our passage. So we're going to talk about a couple words just by way of introduction. The first is understanding the word law, because he talks about law of the spirit, the law of the flesh, and our choices of which one we're going to submit to. I remember back in high school, I played two different sports. I played basketball and soccer. Both of those have very different sets of rules or laws that you have to follow when you're playing those sports, right? And you can't change out some of those rules. You can't pick and choose what you want to do. But there were times when I would walk onto that soccer field over in Salem to play. And when you walk onto that soccer field, you are submitting yourself to those laws. You're saying, for this game, for this period of time, I'm going to walk according to these laws, these rules, which is if you're not the goalie, you can't touch the ball with your hands. You know, there's offsides and all these sort of things, right, that you have to follow. When I played basketball and you'd walk onto a basketball court, you're saying, I'm going to follow those rules and those laws. That's what law is. It's a set of principles that we are going to follow. It's us saying, okay, this is how I'm going to live. These are the ways, the things I'm going to do are the things that I'm not going to do. So go with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. It's what we're allowing to control our life. Laws are the things that we're allowing to dictate what we do or what we do not do. So in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Paul says these two different sets of laws, completely opposite. They're contrary one to the other. There is absolutely no overlap between these set of laws. You are either following one set or you are following the other. You're never following both. It's always one or the other. These set of laws, they're more opposite than soccer and basketball is. You're either walking according to the law of the flesh or according to the law of the spirit. Now, I think there are times in our life where we get very self-deceived many times, where we think of ourselves as being good Christians and godly people and people that are living for the Lord, and yet we're following at times the law of the flesh. But there can be that sort of disconnect between how we view ourselves and how we actually are. It's like when you have, like, you go over someone's house and they're like, this is my cat, and my cat does not scratch. And then the thing comes right up to you and hisses and scratches you. And you're like, well, it's not as friendly as you think your cat is. Right? And sometimes we can be that about ourselves, where we have this image in our mind of who we think we are and our how we view ourselves, and yet that can be disconnected from how we're actually living and the set of laws we're actually following. But the Bible says it's either one or the other. It's either the laws and the rules and the set of guidelines of the Spirit or the laws of the flesh. They are contrary one to the other. And if we keep going in Galatians chapter 5, look in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. This is what happens if you follow the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. All right, that's where the law of the flesh takes you. And in contrast, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Those are completely opposite lists. There's absolutely nothing in common between those two lists. You have all the works of the flesh, which are awful and horrible and sinful, and you have all the wonderful graces of the fruit of the Spirit in verses 22 and 23. It's completely different. But there's these two laws, these two sets of rules to follow. And if we go back to Romans chapter 8, there are a number of synonyms or several synonyms that Paul uses for these sets of laws. In chapter 7 and verse 25, he calls one the law of God. He also calls it the law of the Spirit of life in Romans chapter 8 and verse 2. He also calls the opposite law the law of the flesh or the law of sin and of death. Right? But there's just two, right? These two laws that are there. So that's the idea of the word law. But then we also need to talk about the idea of spirit and flesh. The word flesh is used about two different ways in Scripture. One is in reference to like a physical body or meat, if we put it that way. It's kind of an odd way to put it, but it's as opposed, like the physical body as opposed to like the emotional or spiritual part of us. It's a thing that you can see and touch and all of that. It's often referred to in the Old Testament as regard to like the meat from animals that would be eaten, right? So flesh can be used that way, and our physical body is not sinful. But then also the word flesh is used many times of that sinful part of us, like our old man and our sin nature and that part of us, right? So you have these two different words, and sometimes it's just reading a passage and saying, which flesh is this referring to? And you just kind of have to read the context and then figure out which one it's referring to. When he's talking in Romans chapter 8 about the law of the flesh, he's not talking about our physical body, right? God gave us this physical body and our senses and all of those things. Our physical body in and of itself is not sinful. Now, we know that if we walk according to our flesh, our sin nature, we can do sinful things with our body. But that's what he's referring to with the idea of flesh is our sin nature. And he talks about the law of the flesh and also the law of sin, which are the same thing, because our flesh, our sin nature, constantly pulls us towards sin, toward that first list in Galatians chapter 5. So there's flesh, but also there's spirit, which is the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ that dwells in believers. So we have these two leaders, these two guides in our life that we have the option of following. There is the spirit, and then there is our flesh. But then the last term that we need to talk about is in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, where he says the word walk. In the end of the verse, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Walk means to live according to a particular law. It means to follow the guidance of that particular leader, whoever that might be. It means to yield to the influence of either the spirit or the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5, the Bible uses a synonym for this. It uses the word led. It talks in our passage at chapter 8 and verse 5. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. In verse 6, to be carnally minded, which has the idea of like a mental assent to these things. Do your parents ever tell you to mind your manners? Right? When you were at the table when you were little. They're like, hey, mind your manners because you were, eating with your fingers or chewing with your mouth open or something. Right? And that's what they tell you. They're saying, listen, we have a way we eat in our family at the table, and we use our manners, right? We wipe our mouth on our napkin, not on our shirt sleeves, and all these sort of things. They're saying there's a way that we do things in this house, and they're like, you better mind that. Pay attention and follow those things. So there's walk, there's lead, there's mind. It's all the same idea of following, of you having a set of laws that are being told to you by a specific guide or leader, and it's you deciding then which one you're going to follow, which one you're going to walk after, which one is going to lead you, which set you're going to mind. So, in Romans chapter 8, having said all of that, there are choices that we are presented with, and if we boil it down, it's this. Who are you going to follow? Which one are you going to listen to? The law of the Spirit or the law of the flesh? The only choices we have. At this moment, we are either following the Holy Spirit of God or our flesh. Those are the only two options that we have. Moment by moment, as we live this life, we are presented with choices. Every single day, every single moment, who are we going to follow? Which one are we going to allow to guide us? And in Romans chapter 8, God tells us which one to choose. It's up to us, but he gives us advice. And he tells us which one we should be choosing. He also tells us why. So, three reasons we need to choose correctly. So here's the first one. Number one, we need to choose the one that brings righteousness. Choose the one that brings righteousness. So if we look down in verse 3 talks about the weakness of the Mosaic law, but we talked about that in previous passages. In verse 4, he says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God has always wanted us to be righteous as he is, ever since the beginning. Right? You go back to Adam and Eve and how God created them and then how God deals with them and all of that. God wants us to be righteous. He wants us to be in his image. That's how we made Adam and Eve. And in our salvation, God remade us in his image, right? So he's always been wanting to do that for us. But what we also see is that there's this conflict with sin that Adam and Eve chose back in the garden. And then we've talked about this in Romans. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's universal. Everyone is a sinner. And so we have this conflict. But Paul said in the beginning of Romans that God has installed in every single person a conscience. There's something inside of us that knows the difference between right and wrong. That you look at behavior and you know what it is. You know in yourself when you do something, whether that was what you should have done or whether that was wrong. Because God has put this conscience within us. God also gave to Israel the Mosaic Law, which was him codifying or putting into writing the laws by which Israel should live. Those laws were based on the character of God and the nature of God, that Israel would be like God is in righteousness. But what we've also seen in the book of Romans is that laws don't have the ability to make a person obey them. Laws don't make you be righteous. Right? We have laws against littering in Connecticut. You walk down the side of the road, people are not following the law all the time. And I'm sure there's signs up against littering, right, that you post on the side of the road or whatever. And I'm also sure that people have driven by and chucked a can out the window to see if they could hit the sign that says you should not litter. Laws don't make us obey. There's the weakness in the law that it can't force us to be what the law says we should be. There's that limitation. But God sent Jesus Christ into this world to die for our sins. And I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What the law couldn't do, Jesus Christ did for us. He brought the righteousness that the law could not force us to be. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. For he, that's God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus took all our sin on the cross, and when he took our sin away, he gave us his righteousness. And I know I've said this over and over, but it's true every time. It's not our righteousness. It's always the righteousness of Christ that's applied to us. And that matters. Because if it was your righteousness, that also means you would have to maintain that righteousness. And if we know anything in life, it's that we're not good at that. We're still sinful. Christ is always righteous and always perfect. And if it's his righteousness on our account, we can rest and trust in that and be eternally secure in that. But he made us righteous in the eyes of God. But what we still struggle with, and what Paul is dealing with in the end of Romans chapter 7 and now in chapter 8, is our practical daily righteousness as we live this life. And as we still struggle with temptation, there's still this fight to live how God wants us to live, to be the people God wants us to be. And we struggle with so many things in our life. And what Paul is saying and what God is telling us in Romans chapter 8 is, follow the person that's leading you to righteousness. If you're following the flesh, we know where that leads us. And it's into unrighteousness and wickedness and all that comes from that. God is saying, why don't you follow the Holy Spirit that is leading you into righteousness? To live like God wants you to live. That's where we need to be. That's what we need to be following. It's a choice for us every single day between righteousness and unrighteousness. Who are we following? Which one have we been choosing? The Spirit of God that leads us to righteousness or our flesh that leads us to wickedness? We need to choose the one that gives righteousness. Number two, if we go back to Romans chapter 8, we need to choose the one that gives life. Choose the one that gives life. So in verse 5 of Romans chapter 8, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Choose the one that gives life. A couple weeks ago, we got to spend some time with our friends Ben and Andrea Hamilton. He's preached here before. They're in New York City. They started a church in the Bronx. And so they were coming back from Cape Cod doing something with their kids. And on the way through, they stopped at our house and we spent some time with them. And they have the craziest stories from New York City. I tell you what, I could not live in New York City for any extended period of time. But listening to them, choosing to live in New York City means you choose that sort of lifestyle. Choose the, like, what it means to live in that city. They were telling, they have a dog, and Andrew was saying that one time, a couple of kids, I think, were outside. The dog was in the house, and they had the door open because it was summer, and it was nice. And all of a sudden, she's in the, like, I think she was in the kitchen, and the dog was inside. All of a sudden, this dog, Pitbull, comes running into their house, barking at their dog. And the owner comes running in after and is like running around their house chasing the dog through their house. And she's yelling at him like, get your dog and get out of my house. And like the guy was like, well, your dog barked at mine. She goes, my dog was in my house. You're supposed to be on a leash and it's not. Like, they had this whole, like, in her house with this strange guy and his dog. That's New York City. They were saying that when you take the trash out to the cans on the street, they say you have to kick the trash cans when you go out there to scare the rats away. Because if you don't, you'll open the trash can and there they are. So just like New York living. But listen, if you're like, hey, we're going to move to New York City and we're going to live there, then you have to understand that this is kind of the life that you are choosing. When we're making choices, we have to understand that there is an effect that they have upon us. And when we talk about choosing between the flesh and the spirit, we need to understand that there is a lifestyle, we could say, that goes with the choices that we're making. And we're going to go back to Galatians chapter 5. I know we already read this passage. Choosing to walk after the flesh, the Bible says that isn't even called a life. It's called death. Choosing to walk after the Spirit, that's called life, because that is true life. And I'm going to read this again, verses 19 through 21, and then 22 and 23. And I want you to listen to the difference and think about this as the life that we are choosing based on which one we decide to follow. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Now look in verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. The question is, what sort of experience do you want to have in life? What sort of life do you want to live? The one that's there in 19 through 21 or 22 and 23? Because it matters which one we choose. It matters who we follow. Because they're going in completely opposite directions. And this is where they're leading. And many times it's things that start in the mind and then that play out in the life. Which ones do we want? And our flesh doesn't play fair, and our flesh lies to us, and it doesn't present its path as ending in all the things in these verses. Our flesh doesn't tell us that. It lies to us about this, and it coats it in a very different color, but this is where it ends up. This is the destination that our flesh is taking us to, whether it tells us or not. This is where the Spirit of God is taking us. Verse 22 and 23. All those things that we look at and go, why wouldn't I want that in my life? Why wouldn't I want to have that sort of life? That's where the Holy Spirit of God leads us. Go to Haggai chapter 1 with me. We go back to the Old Testament. Book of Haggai. It's the third book from the end of the Old Testament. I had to just go through in my mind to remember where Haggai is. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 5. So this is what the Lord is telling them about the choices that they have been making and then the life that they were leading because of the wrong choices that they were making. And he tells them in verse 5, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Think about what you're choosing. Verse 6, ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm, and he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. The Lord was telling them, you're sowing all of this to your flesh and trying to reap from it. And he says, you're not getting anything you want out of this. And that is what the flesh does to us. The flesh promises us so much, and temptation and the world and Satan appeals to that and promises us so much. But it's constantly, as we pursue after that, that we find ourselves receiving nothing that we're looking for. Because honestly, what we're looking for is joy and peace and all of those things that are only found through God. But our flesh says, no, I can provide you that. I can provide satisfaction and joy and happiness and peace and all of that if you just pursue after these things. And Haggai said, it's like you're earning money and you constantly put it into a bag with holes and it all just falls out. And then you look in your bag and go, why don't I have anything? Why am I so unsatisfied? Why do I feel like I just don't have what I want? Because that's what the flesh does. And it keeps us in this constant cycle of pursuing after something else or going harder after something that will never provide what we're truly looking for. And the question is, what sort of life do we want? The one that we're always trying but never getting anywhere? Or do we want the life where God provides and God blesses and we have that life of joy and peace and love and long-suffering and meekness and temperance? Who are we following? What life are we choosing? So choose the one that gives life. But then thirdly, back in Romans chapter 8, the third advice that we're given is to choose the one that pleases God. Choose the one that pleases God. So verse 7, because the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. To be carnally minded is enmity with God, and if you are in the flesh, you cannot please God. This is a hard and fast rule. If you are in the flesh, serving the flesh, following the law of the flesh, you are not pleasing to God. Recently, Nathan's, they have their hot dog eating contest, which I like hot dogs, but I don't like this contest. It's hard to watch. If you've ever watched it, you're like, I can't, I just got to look away. There's the guy who wins it every year, right? For the past, I don't know how many years. Well, since 2007, Joey Chestnut has won every single year with the exception of 1 year. He holds the record with 76 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes. 76 in 10 minutes. Right? He's just crazy. But the scandal was he didn't compete this year in the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. Right? And so he's like their big money maker, the guy who like everybody knows about. If you know anything about the contest, you know about him. Kind of the name, the big name in this competition. But he didn't compete this year and they wouldn't let him. Nathan's would not let him compete in the competition because Joey Chestnut accepted a sponsorship from Impossible Foods. Do you know what Impossible Foods is? It's the guys that make the fake meat, right? I don't know what they make it out of, soybeans or something. I don't know, chickpeas, who knows what. I hope they know, but, right, he accepted a sponsorship from these guys that are basically the competition to Nathan's. And so Nathan's went, we're not letting this Joey Chestnut compete because he's basically a walking billboard now for our competitor. And so if he is promoting the competition, we don't like that. We don't want him promoting the competition in our competition, in our contest. So they said, listen, you can't compete this year. And so he wasn't allowed to. You know, I think about that. As Christians, right? We are Christians. Every moment we live in the flesh, it's like we're this billboard for the enemy of God. Because as we live in the flesh, even as we do good things, but we do them in the flesh, what we're saying is basically, we don't need God. We're fine on our own. We can get things done. We can do the right things. We can be a Christian and live as a Christian apart from God, doing things all on our own. That's basically what we're communicating as we live in the flesh. It's us going out and saying, God saved me, but now I can live on my own. I can do everything by myself. And when we try and do that, it's no wonder that the Bible says God is not pleased with that. God's not pleased when we go out and say, you know what, we're good enough. Thank you, Lord, for salvation, but now we've got it from here. We can handle everything. When we walk about saying we can live this life by ourselves, God's not pleased with that. We're living according to the law of our flesh, which one of the things it tells us is that you don't need God. You can do everything on your own. You're smart enough. You know enough. you're strong enough to be on your own. And when God sees that, there's no way God looks at that and is pleased. He is displeased when we live according to the law of our flesh. Living according to the flesh, it says, is enmity with God. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. But then to walk according to the Spirit of God, that is pleasing to God. And isn't that the goal of our life? Isn't that what we're trying to do? Beyond doing what's right, beyond being kind, beyond like having a positive impact on the world, our goal is to please God. Having other goals can lead us astray, but if we keep in our mind the goal of, above all else, I please God. I'm not the servant of men, I serve God and I please Him above all else. That keeps us right where we need to be. Walking according to the Spirit is what pleases God. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. The just shall live by faith, dependence upon God through His Spirit. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Us walking in the flesh, living according to the law of the flesh, is us trusting in ourself and following that way. Us living according to the Spirit is us saying, we need God. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us, to empower us, to enable us, everything, we need God. That faith pleases God. That's what God wants to see in us, us simply trusting in Him and following Him. So this morning, it's a question of guidance. It's a question of who are we following? Are we following our flesh? Are we following the Holy Spirit? And then where is that taking us? And I want us to turn to Galatians chapter 6. We've been in Galatians chapter 5. But now if we go to Galatians chapter 6, in verse 7. Because who we follow determines where we're going to end up. Determines the destination. And in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Corruption, life everlasting. What are the results of our decisions going to be? It happens a lot in life that there are delayed consequences for the choices that we make. And it can be that people think that they've gotten away with it and it hasn't made a difference. But it will catch up with you. If you continue down that path, it will. You'll find those consequences. If you sow to the flesh, you are going to of the flesh reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. We can't separate the consequences from the choices that we make. Because the choices matter, and who we follow determines where we end up. If you've ever heard about the pufferfish, I don't know much about a pufferfish, but one of the things I know about a pufferfish is that they're toxic, right? They're poisonous. Most of the poison is in the liver, I found out, of the pufferfish, but they say that the meat of the pufferfish is delicious. I don't like fish, so I'm kind of taking people's word on this. They also say that the liver can be really delicious, but also toxic. But it can be toxic. It depends on what the pufferfish has been eating, right? There's like different sea creatures that if it feeds on those, it like takes the poisons from them or whatever. It seems a little complicated, but pufferfish is a delicacy in Japan where they really like to eat the meat from that. And they also used to like the liver, but it was so dangerous for them to prepare it and to eat it that they banned it in 1984. And it was likened, eating the liver of a pufferfish was likened to Russian roulette. You just didn't know if it was, you were going to poison yourself and die from this neurotoxin if you ate it. I also read that some people enjoy this, having just a little bit of toxin in the liver, because it like the sensation that it provides if you have just a little. I'm like, I don't know if I would trust that. Be like, just put a little in there. I'm not taking that chance. But it was banned because people would die from eating this, even as they tried to prepare it as best as they could. And the most famous death was January 1975. There was a famous Japanese actor, Bando Mitsuguru, who was eating in a restaurant in Kyoto, and he asked for this. He asked for liver from a puffer fish. And they kind of tried to talk him out of this, but he told them that he had developed a natural immunity to this toxin, and he'd be fine if he ate it. And so the chef gave in, and he ate 4 different servings of this liver, and he died 8 hours later from this. And when you play around, the lesson is when you play around with something dangerous, you can expect to get hurt. Right? And if we play around with our flesh, giving into our flesh, living according to the law of our flesh, we can expect to get hurt by that. And we're really playing a dangerous game when we live according to our flesh. And maybe there's times where you give in and you go, well, nothing happened. Right? It's okay. It's not that bad. Right? Or I can manage. I can deal with it. But you're heading down a path where you will get to a place where there are consequences for what you are choosing. Who are we following? That's the question. Are we walking according to the Spirit or according to our flesh? Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. One more verse this morning. Galatians 5 and verse 16. Here's the final advice. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Listen to that still small voice of the Holy Spirit within you that is convicting you of sin and of unrighteousness, that is trying to guide you into the truth of the Word of God, that is calling us to righteousness. We have to listen to that voice. And there are many times where it seems like our flesh is so loud in our heart and in our mind, tempting us and calling us to do what is wrong. We need to mind the Spirit of God through the Word of God, and listen to what the Holy Spirit of God is calling us to do. The choices that we make, choose the one that brings righteousness. Choose the one that gives life. Choose the one that pleases God. If we listen, we will find the voice of the Holy Spirit within us. We will hear that conviction of us contemplating something and the Holy Spirit of God say, you know you shouldn't do that. You know this is not right. You know this isn't how you should be living. And we feel that call to live in righteousness. Walk in the Spirit of God. Walk according to the law of the Spirit, where what He guides us to do is what we do. And we put to death, we mortify the deeds of our flesh, and we walk according to the Spirit. And so the question is, who are we going to follow? What's the choice we're going to make? Who are we going to listen to in our life? There's consequences to the choices that we make. Who are we going to follow? Let's close with prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the work that you do in us. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to make the right choices. We pray that you would give us grace, give us strength. We pray that we would hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in us, calling us to live for you. Help us to walk in the Spirit that we would not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.